It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. It's been an eventful week in the transition to the administration of President-elect Donald Trump. Georgia Republican Senator David Perdue was one of Trump's earliest supporters and advisors, and he joins us now. Senator, welcome back.
Good morning, Dennis. Hope you're well.
Doing well. Thank you. The CIA told Congress last weekend that Russian hackers who got into the Democratic Party's computers weren't just trying to cause chaos in the election system. They were actually trying to boost Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. And the president-elect, as you know, immediately criticized the CIA in public. Do you think he should have done that?
Well, I think the CIA sounded like they were making a political observation. What they need to be doing is investigating this. But I have to tell you, in my opinion, and I traveled the country during the political process, it is disturbing on the one hand that we've got a foreign country trying to interfere in our politics. But, you know, we actually had the American government here a year or so ago getting involved in the Israeli government elections over there. So, I mean, this is a very troubling potential. But I don't think it had any material impact in the election and the outcome of the election. That doesn't minimize the concern that we should have for it.
Be that as it may, do you think that the president should have gone after the CIA the way he did at a time when he's going to be relying on those very professionals in a very difficult national security environment?
Well, I think it's a fair question, and I think he was calling out the political dimension to the result that had impact on the political equation. I think when you see how their intelligence community under Mike Flynn and some of these other guys that will be involved, they're going to get to the bottom of that directly. And I think you're going to see, like, when you look at the nominations that he's got right now, Dennis, General Kelly for, you know, Homeland Security and Mattis for Secretary of Defense, and even Mike Flynn, National Security Advisor, these are very capable people who will get to the bottom of these things and give him good input. So I understand his frustration with the CIA. We're still coming out of the political season, but now we're moving on. And I hope that this is something I want your listeners to understand that we're really pushing for in Washington, a few of us. And that is, I don't want this to be like 09. In 09 and 10, we had a change of political power, and there was a supermajority, and they tended to act like it was a mandate. Here, some people on the Republican side are tending to act that way now, too. I don't see that in the administration. And what I do see is people are beginning to act like it's a probation period. America wants Washington to work again, Dennis. And it hasn't been for quite a while. Over the last two presidencies, the size of our federal government has exploded in size. And that's not a partisan comment. It's just a reality. So now we've got to find a way to compromise both sides to solutions to break through this gridlock up there.
I'll get to especially the debt, which you've talked about a lot in just a moment. But just very quickly to finish up on the CIA for a moment, the CIA didn't make that announcement about high confidence about the Russian hacking publicly. They said that to Congress, and it got out in the Washington Post initially. So the question becomes, do you think they were really being that political, and do you support calls for either a bipartisan probe or an independent commission to look into this and try to take it out of the political process?
Well, that's why it's in the CIA. The CIA should not be a political process, and that may have been what the president-elect was trying to comment on. But I think that they have the ability to get the information. I'll see some of it when I get back up there in a secured environment. But the thing we've got to make sure, this cybersecurity issue is very real, Dennis, and you're bringing up a great point. If a country is outside agent is trying to impact our elections, for example, or impact our grid or impact our information flow, which they're doing in Eastern Europe, by the way, Putin is very directly trying to influence political activity in Eastern Europe today, even in Germany. His propaganda warfare is significant. And so this cyber warfare is one reason why the Army is standing up two brigades right here in Augusta, Georgia right now of cyber warriors. It's a top topic. I know that President-elect Trump has brought in advisors from Silicon Valley to bring in the best and brightest into this administration. They're filtering through names today as we speak. And I'm encouraged by that, but I think it's a sobering question when we look at the NSA, the CIA, and all of these that are commissioned to make sure that we know and protect not only our national secrets, but our national processes as well.
A group of senators, including some Republicans, have called for a bipartisan probe or even an independent commission to look at what might be behind the Russian hacking and how far it goes. Would you support that?
I understand the frustration of some of my colleagues, and that's sort of a go-to when they feel like that they want more information. The CIA has a lot of information about that, so does NSA. And so before I support another probe like that, I'd like to know more about what these guys already have. But again, my answer on the bigger picture is that we're in a cyber war today, and it's not always just with states. You know, we have individuals and interests abroad who are trying to do nefarious things within our country. And so when I look at how the Army, for example, has stood up two cyber brigades here in Augusta, Georgia, I'm encouraged that we're moving in the right direction, but we've got a lot of work to do to make sure we can protect ourselves.
A couple of other things very quickly. You're a member of this Foreign Relations Subcommittee on State Department Management, and the president-elect has chosen ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson to be Secretary of State. Now, he has close business and personal ties to Russian leader Vladimir Putin. For all of his acumen and certainly his contacts with leaders around the world, does that concern you at all, those ties to Putin?
Well, I think he will answer those when we go through the confirmation process. He's already been vetted within the administration before the nomination. I just think it's exciting to get somebody from outside the typical Washington establishment to come in and try to clean up the State Department and also to represent our interests around the world. This is a man that's dealt with heads of state during his career. He's got a lot of experience doing that. I'm not too troubled by the relationship with Putin because I think this man has represented his interests before. He's not in Putin's pocket. And so I think when we get through the vetting of all that, we'll be comforted by that fact. But we rest assured that when he goes through the confirmation process, he'll have a lot of those questions that he'll have to answer.
Would it be?
Let me expand that just a bit. I'm excited, too, by the fact that this is a diverse group of nominees that has been brought forward in the cabinet so far. It's far-reaching into a lot of different parts of American society.
Would it be possible, though, for Rex Tillerson, whatever his intentions might be, however good they might be, to extricate himself from the potential conflicts of interest that might be posed by his ExxonMobil service of 40 years and his relationship with Putin and his job as Secretary of State?
Well, you know, I have a relationship with people that I deal with in my personal life where sometimes it may be an adversarial position. The fact that I have some history with that person actually gives me a stronger ability to establish my position. And what we need to do in the world is reestablish what America stands for and what we expect in terms of our relationships with these other countries. I mean, let's remember, we have sanctions right now on Russia for some of their nefarious activities. And so this is a man that's going to have to answer the question of how will he help, you know, drive that relationship with not only Russia, but China, Iran, North Korea, all of the problem spots that we have in the world today. I think he's a great nominee. We'll go through a lot of these questions you're bringing up in the confirmation process. I'm not troubled by it today. I think there's a good answer for it, but we'll see as we go through the confirmation.
A few days ago, Congress passed another one of those continuing resolutions to keep the government running temporarily, and you voted no. But with a new administration coming in and Republicans much better able to get what they want once that happens, what was the point of a no vote on a temporary extension?
Well, the system is broken. You know, here again, in the last 42 years, we've only funded the government four times the way the 74 Budget Act calls for. And in the last 19 consecutive years, for example, we've used 107 continuing resolutions. What's worse than that, Dennis, is that over the last 42 years, we have to pass 12 appropriation bills each year to fund the government. In the last 42 years, we've only passed 2.5 bills per year. It is totally dysfunctional. So my no vote in September to get us past September 30th was to say this. If they had given us the choice of saying, give us a continuing resolution and we'll work on compromising to find solutions for these 12 appropriation bills in the next 90 days to fund the government the way it's supposed to be, I said yes. And again, this time, I would say yes again. But I said no because we're kicking the can down the road instead of facing up to the tough compromise decisions that we need to make to fund the government the way it should be funded. And this is a contributor. It's not the only contributor, but it's a contributor to the spiraling debt that we have. And both parties are responsible. Over the last two administrations, since 2000, Dennis, our federal government has grown from $2.4 trillion to $3.8 trillion. It's just exploded here. And we can't afford to do that.
But isn't there a long-term outline before Congress already? I mean, your predecessor, Saxby Chambliss, spent a long time working on the Simpson-Bowles Commission, which came up with a plan to cut the debt, and so far neither Democratic nor Republican leaders have done very much with it. So isn't acting on something like that part of the answer, rather than, what might say, sending up a flare over a continuing resolution?
Well, let me tell you what I have been doing. Over the last year, I personally initiated an effort behind the scenes to change the way we fund the federal government, to create a politically neutral platform that doesn't favor either party or the majority or the minority to get the government funded each year. This is one of several areas we need to work on to solve this debt crisis. We need to grow the economy. We need to look at redundant agencies. We need to solve and save Social Security and Medicare, which both trust funds run out of money. They go to zero in 15 short years. And we got to get after or reduce the spiraling nature of healthcare costs. So all of that is put it in a crucible, and we need to come up with a 30-year plan that will reduce this debt to a point where it's responsible. It's not responsible today. The budget process is one that we are actively working on. We put it in a bill. We've actually got that language out there. It will absolutely change the way we fund the government, and will have consequences if we don't. I'm encouraged that I see movement in both parties to sort of look for the bipartisan solution to break through the gridlock. And we've got an administration coming in that's very experienced, very diverse, and I think will be offering up cooperative efforts with Congress to try to break through the gridlock and get the economy going again.
Republican David Perdue is Georgia's junior senator. Senator, thanks so much for this time. We really appreciate it. And the best of holiday seasons to you and your family.
And the same to you, Dennis. I always enjoy our conversation. Happy holidays.